Let's go to the Lord in prayer, y'all. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you so very much for another opportunity, another day to speak on your behalf, dear Heavenly Father, to preach the gospel of peace, to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that the hearts, that through the listeners of this word, that their hearts will be changed, their minds will be changed, their souls might be saved. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen. Amen. It's good to be here, good to have this opportunity. And we started last week, turn your Bibles to the book of Romans. And we started last week with the chapter 10, and we did verses 1 through 13. The book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 1 through 13. And we preach out of the King James Bible, so if you don't have a copy, there should be one in the pew in front of you. Or I know some of you use that electronic wizardry and just have at it. But it's nice when you're all on the same page. Amen? Amen. So turn to your King James Bible, a very faithful translation of the Word of God. And it reads, we are going to be preaching today from chapter 10, verses 13 through 21. Chapter 10, verses 13 through 21. And it reads, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." We're going to take a minute right there and everybody say, amen. Amen. That's good news, y'all. Okay, now back to the script. Okay. "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. Verse 21. But to Israel, he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, doers, and hearers of his word. Amen. Today we will talk about preaching the gospel of peace. Preaching the gospel of peace. Peace. Some people marvel. We had a civil war in this country, north against the south, brother against brother, cousin against cousin. Thousands of men killed in our civil war. Brutal, unbelievably brutal. War, as is all war. But one of the most telling things for me about the Civil War was how it ended and how simply it ended. I mean, here you are one day, you're killing each other. You're just flat out, anything you can do to get that other guy, anything you could do to get him, you did it. But then it all came to an end at Appomattox Courthouse. With no fanfare. It says that Ulysses S. Grant got to the courthouse. He wasn't much on formalities, so he was in his field uniform. He was dirty boots, and he went in, had a seat. He invited General Lee in, General Lee walks in, the head of the Confederate Army, General Lee walks in just absolutely immaculate. Strack, that's what they call it, strack. Grant said, have a seat. He had a seat. 4 years they had been enemies. 4 years they had been battling. 4 years, thousands of men dead. But don't forget, this is all of America, y'all. This is one nation, y'all. Killing each other. I hope we take a little bit of thought from that. Killing each other. And Grant said, have a seat. So Lee sat down. A little bit of small talk. Grant said, do you promise to cease hostilities towards the United States of America? Lee, waiting for the other shoe to drop. Because don't forget, most people, when they have a victory over somebody, somebody gets slaughtered. Praise God, we're a Christian nation. I know some of y'all dispute that, but that's all right. I'm okay with that. Praise God, we're a Christian nation. Even though we were killing each other. Don't forget, there was 12 tribes of Judah. They killed each other. 12 tribes of Israel. They killed each other too. Amen? Okay. Until they decided to follow God's way. And until we decide to follow God's way, same thing's going to happen. We're just going to bite and chew and destroy each other. But I get back. I digress. Okay. So Lee's sitting there, and he's waiting for the other shoe to drop. And he says, and Grant had asked him, he said, will you cease hostilities against the United States? He said, yeah, oh, I will. Grant said, okay. Go out, tell your guys the war's over. They can take their rifle, use it only for hunting and doing good, because back then, that's how you fed your family. They even got to keep their weapons. Now, they didn't take home any cannons, okay? But they were allowed to keep their rifles, and they walked out, and the war came to an end. They walked out. He told his men, he said, go home, the war is over, stop fighting. And the Civil War, one of the bloodiest battles ever fought by this nation, came to a conclusion. Were there still issues? Yeah. But I've mentioned that because I want to tell you about a war that ended even more civilly. God says in verse 13, he says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. You know what that means? That verse, that is the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace between man and God. Many of y'all wasn't even aware that there was a war going on. Amen. But there's been a battle going on between man and God from the garden. It's been a spiritual battle where man has always wanted to do what we want to do. And God says, you're like a ship without a compass. Don't do what you want to do because that path leads unto death and destruction. Do what I want you to do. And choose life. Look at this peace offering. Call on the name of the Lord, and you shall be saved. What else I got to do, Lord? I got to go slay a dragon? No. I got to stop smoking and stop drinking. I'll get you through that. But first, we got to start with call on the name of the Lord. Amen. Well, what do you mean? Did you just say Jesus? Well, let's think about this. There's a lot involved to having a name. What is a person's name? We go out and we buy brand name stuff. We don't even know if there's such a name as somebody Nike. We don't know. But we go buy his stuff. But people spend thousands of dollars developing a good name. There's a lot in a name. The Bible tells you that a good name, talking about us, a good name is better. It's worth more than silver and gold. If we all believe that, we'd act a little bit better. Amen. God developed an incredible, impeccable name. And you know how he did that? He did that with John 3:16. When the Bible says that God so loved you and God so loved me that he gave his only begotten son that a sinner, a wretch like me, could be saved. Or another way of saying it, could have eternal life. See, some people don't understand that we really don't understand that we are on our way. Without Christ, you are on your way to total separation from God for all of eternity. It's not like you're going to pick one, well, maybe I might do this. No, no, no. You're on your way. And if something doesn't happen in between to change your course, you will end up eternally separated from our Creator. And it has to be that way, even though people tell you, well, a loving God would not do that. Well, understand, it's got to be that way because he can't be a loving God and be a lying God. And if he says that's what's going to happen, then that has to happen, or he's not only a lying God, he's an unholy God. And he's neither of those. He's holy, and he's loving, and he has said, I can put a cessation to this war between you and me. Whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. What are the other conditions of surrender, Lord? I just gave it to you. Yeah, but that's so simple. All these other religions, I got to do this, and I got to do that, and I got to do this, and I got to remember that, and I got to learn how to spin around and turn around at the same time and chew gum. I can't do it. I can't do it. But you know what I can do? And I can trust the Lord with my life, and not, because he'll give me the ability when I call on his name, because that's his job. That's what he's in the keeping business, y'all. I can't keep me. But when I call on his name, he says, that's part of the deal. The deal is not what you can do for me, but what I've already done and I'm going to do for you. That's the deal. I mean, if anybody got the short end of the stick, God got it. We made out like bandits. Because you know why? Because he says, I'm going to save you. Because my name's at stake. I'm going to save you. And all I ask in return, I got a bunch of other folks out there who are still at war with me. They're still battling against me. They're still fighting me. He says, would you be a witness for me? Would you testify for me? Would you tell somebody just how good I am? Well, preacher, but I ain't living quite right just yet. They know that. But if you aren't, surely there's been some change in you, and your friends will notice it. And they'll say, you know, he used to be a real scudder. Now he's just a semi-scudder. But they'll notice the change. And it comes from yielding more, not trying harder. Y'all, we didn't try. We didn't try. It's human nature to try and try and try and try and try. It's not natural for us to humble ourselves. It's just not. It's not natural to humble ourselves and say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I used to hear the old folk. Now, y'all know I'm one of the old folk now. But when I was in church and I was a little kid, and I, you know, because my parents took me to church, and I'd sit there and I'd listen to the old sisters over there. Oh, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm 18, I'm 19, I don't need nobody's help. I'm just, changed my tune. I feel a pain in my chest. Lord, help me. Feel a pain in my back. Lord, help me. Family going south. Lord, help me. Job going south. Lord, help me. And you know what I found out? No matter how many times I call on him, he show up. He show up. And you know what else? Not only do he show up, he's on time. Every time on time. I'll be sitting there fretting, sweating. I got a confession to make. I got a confession. Y'all know I got my new car out there. That's my new car, that new Ford out there. I've had it now about close to a year, a little bit over a year now. Well, last night I got a flat. Driving like an old man, ran over a curb. I said, them old men run over the curb because they don't see him. The best thing that ever come up with those little side lights on your car. I didn't have mine on. Got them on the car. Didn't have them on. Ran over the curb. So I pull into the driveway. And by the time I get out of the car, I hear this psss. I said, oh, man. Tire going down while I'm standing there. Just going down. And so I start thinking, it's really cold outside. I pay a lot of money for road service and all that good stuff like that. But my car is going on flat. And I called road service, going to take about an hour. And Sister Niece and I had to get out of there. We were here. We're trying to get home. And I don't want to sit here for an hour. And I told my baby, I said, well, I'm just going to leave the car. I thought she was going to faint. What? I said, I'm just going to leave the car. Because she knows, had this been a few months ago, with my brand new car, I'm scared somebody gonna break in, scared somebody gonna scratch it, scared somebody gonna say, oh, I'm scared. But see, God matures you. He matures you. If you let him now. I thought about it. I said, it's cold out there. I'm tired. I pay all this money for road service. Lord, take care of my car. I'm going home. Amen. Amen. Y'all, your faith, it's not deep. It's every day call on him. Every day he's listening. Everybody's voice is just like everybody's fingerprint. Everybody's voice is different. And the Bible says, he says, I know the hairs on your head. I guarantee you he knows your voice. Just call on him. Call on him. Say, Lord, help. And if you don't believe what I'm telling you, say, Lord, help thou my unbelief. Amen. Amen. Cover it all. Let's talk. Preaching the gospel of peace. You got peace with God, you have peace with man, and you have peace with yourself. Peace with God. That's what we're talking about right now. Once we get that issue settled, peace with God, then you can work your way out to everything else. But first, you have to get things straight with God. And God doesn't, he's not much on the negotiating. He's not into negotiations like that. I mean, we always want to try to bargain with God, like we're bringing something to the table. Now, he says, whosoever will call on me, I've already gave you. You call on me, and I'll save you. That's the promise of peace. So if you don't have it, if you don't have peace with God, if you don't have peace with your neighbors, if you don't have peace within your own spirit, you're struggling with your own stuff, there's a promise of peace to whosoever will. God's no respecter of persons, y'all. Promise of peace. Verses 13 through 15, where it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 14 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? He's talking about the Jewish community. Because the gospel message came to who? To the Jew, what? First. Amen? Don't forget that. That's important. That's important about our evangelistic outreach, because Romans 1:16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and then the Greek. So here he says in verse 14, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? That's a conundrum. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Verse 14. Luke chapter 2, verse 14. When I read these things, I just get happy and excited. See, we just came through our Christmas season, y'all. And we read stuff in the Bible and we really don't attach value to it. But look at what is spoken here in verse 14. Luke chapter 2, verse 14. It says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. He's telling you right here. We talk about the birth of Jesus. We talk about the incarnation of Christ. The angels came and they pronounced, they preached, they shouted out, glory to God in the highest. And what's that word? Peace. That's the promise of peace. He said, through this man, through this child that's being born today in a manger in Bethlehem of Judea, he goes, you are given the promise of peace. Not just you and me, but the whole world is given the promise of peace through this man. And then he says, goodwill toward, he said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. It's there, church. Do you have it? Do you have that peace within yourself? First off, have you made that peace with God? Have you said to God, you know what, Lord? I don't really get the whole thing. I just don't get the whole thing. But I'm going to trust you. Because I've seen the evidence. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. Church, you get these pictures from the Old Testament. Thank you, Lord. You get these pictures from the Old Testament. And you think about the tabernacle. The tabernacle was all covered with skin. It was black. It was grungy looking. There was nothing beautiful about the tabernacle on the outside. All the good stuff was on the inside. All of God's goodness, all of God's glory, gold, silver, beauty. But if you looked at it on the outside, if you didn't know anything about, if you were a Bedouin and you were watching the children of Israel out there go to worship in the tabernacle out in the wilderness, and you see all these people go in with their animals, they slay their animals, and they bring their sacrifices into God, and they lay it all out there. They give it all to God. And you watch them, you're the better one. You're stepping back and you're looking at them, and they go in, oh, and they come out, I've been forgiven. I've been forgiven. See, that's what church is for. You can come in here. What did he say? All you who are heavy laden, come here. Come here. But when you get here, crank up your joy and walk out saying, I've been forgiven. I've been forgiven. And that goes a long way, church, but you got to know it. And when they looked at, when the better ones would look at that tabernacle, they say, on the outside, it looks like nothing, but there must be something in there that I need to know about. You know what? When people look at you and me, Christians, when they look at your life and they say, you have the same troubles, the same woes that I have. You got money trouble, you got wife trouble, you got children trouble, you got school trouble, you got job trouble, you got all kinds of trouble just like me. But you seem to be handling it differently. See, that's why Christians have to crank up their joy, because you're being watched. You're being watched. You're being scrutinized. And that's okay. Because when you're being scrutinized by folks who don't know Jesus and they see your life, they're going to come talk to you. They might do it kind of slyly. Hey, man, I just lost my job and I lost my mind with it. You got laid off just like me. What's up with this? You talking about, well, now that I got some free time, I'll go do something else. It gives you a chance. It gives us a chance to tell folks who don't know. They legitimately don't know the goodness of God. They don't know when the Bible says, I'll give you peace that surpasses understanding. They don't know that. My buddy Nick, he's a retired policeman. We were talking yesterday, and he told me we were talking about the different ways of dying, and we couldn't find any really good ones. But we were discussing it now. We were discussing it. And he told me about a call that he got called out on years ago. And he said, when I came, he had to break down the door. When I came into the house, he said, this man is sitting up in bed. He put his hand on his hands. And he said he was laying there smiling, just as dead as he could be. Now, I didn't tell him this, but I dare say, I bet you he knew the Lord. He said he had a smile on his face. I've been around folks when they're leaving and they don't know the Lord. Nobody's smiling. Everybody's clamoring. But when you're going and you're sitting in the hospital with somebody who knows the Lord, it's a whole different experience. When I sat there with my daddy was laying there dying. And my daddy, I'm sitting here, I'm boo-hooing and carrying on. And my daddy said, son, I'm tired. I'm ready to go home. I'm thinking, oh, 1998 Wadsworth Road. No. He said, I'm ready to go home. Y'all, that's the grace. That's the grace that God bestows on his people when they call on the name of the Lord, when they seek his peace. The terms of peace. Let's work on these texts just a little bit. How then shall they call on him on whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him on whom they have not heard? That's verse 14. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Church. Church, this message, all messages, even the messages that are hard to take, are it's a gospel message of peace between you and God. It's glad tidings. It's glad tidings. Even when you hear the things that are difficult, it's glad tidings, because if God didn't love you, he would not tell you the difficult things. If he didn't love you, he'd let you just stay ignorant, but he loves you. He loves us so much. And he says, how beautiful are the feet of them that of them that preach the gospel of peace. A Gallup poll that was taken in December of 2018. One of the saddest things you ever want to see was 1,000 adults. 1,000 adults. And they asked them, what was your opinion of the clergy? What's your opinion of preachers and ministers? Where do you rate them as far as ethical conduct and things of that nature? Confidence in them. 37% of the people. Only 37% of the people, of 1,000 people, who said, you know, I think most preachers and teachers are pretty ethical. That is sad. That is, you know why that's sad? Because the Bible says, how is any unbeliever going to find out the truth unless he get it from a preacher? And if you think the preacher is a liar, and by the way, some of them are, just the way it is. But you know how you avoid lying preachers? Open your Bible. open your Bible. The Apostle Paul said, the people that I preached to, and the Bereans were the most noble people out there. He said, because every time I preached, they went home and they searched the scriptures to see if what I was telling was the truth. But the hope of this nation, and the hope of any nation, the hope of this world, is godly men taking the word of God into the kingdom of God, out into the fields, out into the highways, out into the byways. He goes, the preacher must be sent. He can't be a preacher who just went. He got to be sent by God. Amen? Amen. Terms of peace. Verses 16 and 17. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He says, but they have not all obeyed. The problem is not that the message is bad, is that you don't believe the message. And you don't believe the message, therefore you don't obey the message. What was the message? The message was given to you right there in verse 13. Whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But if you don't believe it, you'll never do it. And he says here, Isaiah, speaking to the Jewish community, Isaiah said, they have not all obeyed the gospel. So if the gospel message is the gospel of peace, and you have not obeyed the gospel message of peace, guess what? You don't have peace between you and God. You have no peace. You have, and don't confuse peace with the cessation of hostilities. That's called a ceasefire. When you decide you just want to act good for a little bit, Lord, I'm going to clean myself up. I'm going to stop doing this and stop doing that. And I'm going to. When are we going to stop saying, I'm going to, and start saying, he did. He paid it all. He paid it all. All to him I owe. And until I get to that mindset, to all to him I owe, until I get there, I'm forever saying, I'm going to do. Come on, y'all. Some of you way past 21. If you ain't done it by now, it ain't going to get done. If you're doing it in your own strength, it is not going to get done. Because it's not for lack of trying. It's for lack of trusting. You don't believe that God is able to do that which he says he will do. Amen. You have the promise of peace. You have the terms of peace. The terms of peace is you have to obey the message. You have to call on the name of the Lord. And then verse 18, he goes, there's hindrances to my peace. There's hindrances to the peace between God and man, man and man, and man and himself. There's hindrances. There's always something to block your path. Why is there always something to block your path? Because it's a spiritual battle, y'all. It's a spiritual battle. There is a real enemy. I know there's folks who teach, there's folks who preach that the devil is not real. He's a force. He's sort of like Darth Vader or some nonsense like that. He's a force. No, he's a devil. And he's real. And where do I get that information? From the same book that tells me about Jesus and God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. That same book tells me there's a real devil. His name was Lucifer. His now name known as Satan, and he's the enemy of mankind, and he is real, and he is the most subtle beast of the field, and one of his best tactics is getting you to believe that he don't even exist. Amen. Well, you know, he's just a force. You know, people can do this, and people can do that, being led like lambs to slaughter. He says, what are some of the hindrances? Verses 18 to 21. What are some of the hindrances of peace? Why can't I just have some peace? Why is it every day there's something coming at me? Every day there's a this, there's a that. See, understand, you know, some people think that, oh, this is the worst times we've ever had in this country. I just told you we were killing each other 100 years ago. Literally, not figuratively, shooting each other. Okay, so it's not the worst time it's ever been. It's bad, but it's not the worst time. But here's what it takes to fix it. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And when you obey that gospel message, when you obey that, when you have peace with God, guess what? Devil can't do you no harm. Devil can't do you no harm. Other folks can't even get you off your joy when you get things right with God. Verse 18. But I say, well, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So how do I get this faith? Well, here, when he's talking about hearing here, he's talking, the word hearing is a noun here. It's a something, hearing. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But in Mark chapter 4, verse 9. Jesus says, he's addressing a crowd, and he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. That word hear there is a verb. It's an action. When he's talking about hearing the word of God, he's not talking about something audible. He's talking about something much more than audible. When your boss is really upset with you, you're out on the job site. Boss is really upset with you. And he just comes and he's letting you have it. Boy, he's giving you an earful. See, now I know in civilized jobs, y'all can't do that anymore because they'll turn you into the EEOC or something like that. On construction sites, EEOC is in the job shack, okay? He's giving you an earful. And he said, do you understand me? Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? Do you get it? And you might reply, I hear you, man. I hear you. Does that mean that I'm just now getting an auditory sound? No, because it has to go deeper than that. The auditory sound is not what he's trying to get me to hear. He's trying to get me what's all behind the auditory sound. That's why Jesus says, if you have an ear, those who have an ear, let them hear. I'm preaching the gospel of peace. Everybody who's not deaf is actually hearing the gospel of peace, but some of them ain't hearing the gospel of peace. It's got to go beyond your ears, beyond your mind, and into your soul, and into your spirit, and into your heart. That's when you can say, I hear you, preacher. I hear you. I hear what you're saying. But until then, it's nonsense. But this word says, start with trusting God. Understand, it's the gospel of peace. It's God offering you peace. God offering me peace. I thought the person who was the offender was supposed to be the one seeking peace. I thought that when you started the fight, I thought you were supposed to be the one seeking the peace. But you know how good God is? God says in the book of Romans, he says, I offer you the propitiation. That's one of those good Bible words, propitiation. What's the propitiation? You did me wrong, but I'm going to offer my son to make it right. Oh, man. And he says, and whosoever will call on my son, call on the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. What a deal. God, we started the fight in the garden. We've rebelled against God on almost every level we can think of our whole life. And for some of us, that's been quite a while. And even the young ones right now, they think, well, I haven't done anything against God. Well, you haven't done anything for him. You haven't believed him. And if you haven't believed him, you've done something against him. You've denied him. Well, I don't beat up people. I don't curse. You have denied him, and that's enough to keep you separated from him for all eternity. Hindrance to peace. He says, but I say, have they not heard? This is the author. The author is saying, how can people say, I've never heard anything about Jesus?
How can anybody in America say, I've never heard anything about Jesus? One of the big complaints with people about churches, man, there's churches on every corner. I see churches over here, and I hear churches over there, and I'm looking for a church. Wait. You've seen churches everywhere, but yet still you ain't trusting Jesus Christ. You keep telling me you're seeking the Lord, and you drove past 20 churches to get here. But I'm seeking Jesus. No, you're not. You're seeking a gospel that will allow you to do what you want to do the way you want to do, just like you've been doing. That's what you want. And God says, confess with your mouth that he's Lord. What's that mean when we say he's Lord? That means he calls the shots. And once you understand his nature, you'll really appreciate that. You'll really like that. For most of us when we were little children, not all of us, but for most of us, for the first 3 or 4 years of our lives, let's get a show of hands. How many of y'all paid rent at 3 years old? How many of y'all made a car note? How many paid the electric bill? How many went out and bought groceries? Somebody did that for you because they loved you. And you just accepted it. It wasn't until you got to be a teenager when mom and daddy didn't have that much sense. That's how we are with God. God said, I gave you breath. I gave you life. I gave you rain. I gave you sun. I gave you health. I gave you healing. And yet and still, you won't just say, thank you. Let me be Lord. Let me be your Lord. Actually, God said, I'm Lord already. Will you acknowledge it? He's not a beggar. Verse 18. The sound went out into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? What about the Jews? The gospel came to the Jews first. So the psalm, the author is saying, well, didn't Israel know? Didn't they get the memo that God has sent his son, his only son, that they might be saved just like everybody else? They said, God spoke to them even in the book of Deuteronomy through Moses. Y'all, turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 21. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 21. This is the crux, one of the primary texts for our Listen for the Joy ministry. And I'm using these next couple Sundays, aside from our anniversary, to kind of help Good Shepherd understand the book of Romans gives us God's big picture. It gives us God's big picture of what he's doing in this world and how he chose the children of Israel, not because they're better than anybody else, but because he could use them for an object lesson. So that's why the Jews get the first punishment and the Jews get the first blessing. Amen? It's because they are God's object lesson, not because they're better. And understand, if God does not keep his promise to the Jews, you can't trust him. But if he keeps his promise to the Jews, you got to be a fool not to trust him. Deuteronomy 32:21. And it reads, now this is God speaking to Moses. This is way back yonder. He says, they have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. Church, check this out. Understand this. When you get to this book of Deuteronomy, this is after God had done all the miracles that he was going to do for the Jews in the Old Testament. This is after he pulled them out of Egypt with a mighty hand. This is after he parted the Red Sea with a mighty hand. This is after he held the sun in the sky for Joshua so he could fight a little bit longer. This is after he fed them for 40 years in the wilderness so nobody went hungry, nobody's food ran out. This is all after that, and they're still saying, I think these people over in this land got a better God. Oh, sound kind of sound like us, huh? You know, hey, I think I wanna dabble in some Hinduism, because you know they got some good gods. Go look where it's dominant. It ain't work for them. Amen. God is saying, right, see, this is what I love about the Bible, because when you connect these dots, God is saying right here in Deuteronomy, I've done all these things for these folks. I've done all this stuff. And yet and still, they go seeking other gods. God said, that makes me angry. That makes me jealous. And so then when you fast forward to Romans 11:11, this is where we come in. Go over to Romans 11:11. This is where the Gentiles come in. This is where you and I come in. This is where, when we have accepted that gospel of peace, this is where we come in, and this is where we go to work, y'all. This is where we go to work, Romans 11:11. It's directly tied to Deuteronomy, where we just came from. And it says then, I say then, have they stumbled, talking about the Jewish nation, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their salvation, through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. What did you just read in Deuteronomy? God said, I'm going to take a people who are not a people. Guess who those people are? Us. Anybody who is not of the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is a Gentile. Everybody. It's hard for you to fathom. It's hard for us to fathom. But God said, during that time period, we were way away from his promises. And the Jews knew that. But God, through his wisdom and his kindness and his mercy, God called the Jews to take that message out to the rest of the world. But they didn't. And so God says, since they won't do what I told them to do, since they provoked me to jealousy through following false gods, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take those people. Ooh, praise God, because the fall of them is the salvation of the Gentiles. He said, I'm going to get these people over here, these Gentiles. And y'all, this is hard to take. But do y'all remember when the lady came to Jesus and she asked Jesus to... She wanted him to come heal her daughter. And Jesus said, I don't have time for the dogs. Y'all remember that scripture? Jesus said, don't have time for the dogs. He was talking about the Gentiles. That's how the Jews related to the Gentile world. But see what old girl said? Old girl, she replied, and I'm this modern day translation. She said to Jesus, she said, you know, she said, I know I don't really have a right to it. She said, but even the dogs get the crumbs. And Jesus went, whoa, have you ever seen such faith? Here's a person who has no right to the kingdom of God. No right. But he says, because of your faith. And how did she get that faith? The faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. She had heard what Jesus had done. Have you heard what Jesus has done? Have you talked to anybody about Jesus? Have you heard the good news of the gospel of peace? Then show up like the lady in need and say, Lord, I need you. Call on the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. And that faith comes by hearing. Comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That's when we're supposed to talk. We're supposed to tell people about Jesus. He says, did Israel not know, verse 19, but I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people and by a foolish nation. But Isaiah was very bold and saith, verse 20, I was found of them that sought me not, talking about the Gentile world. This is God's grace. This is his mercy. This is his wisdom. He had the whole game plan laid out. We can't figure it out. He goes, I'm beyond understanding. He says, my ways are unsearchable. He says, just read it and believe me. And then base it on what you've already seen. You know he's God. He's God all by himself. He says, but Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. That's the Gentiles. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. That's the Gentiles. God came seeking us. That's why people cannot get away with saying, I'm looking for Jesus. If Jesus is looking for you, he said, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. If Jesus is looking for you, then there ought to be no reason why you haven't been found, except for you ain't looking for Jesus. You're running in the opposite direction. Amen. I like that. I like that. I like that. People come to me all the time. Yeah, I'm seeking the Lord. Yeah, I'm seeking the church. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Because if you were seeking the church, and especially if you were seeking Jesus, you've been found by now. Because Jesus said, I came to seek and save that which was lost. So anybody that's lost is not because God is not a loving God. It's not because God is not a merciful God. It's because that person has determined in their heart, they hear it in their ears, but they don't hear it. It's not there. And the problem is not in the head, y'all. It's never an intellectual issue when people don't come to faith in Jesus Christ. It's always an issue of the heart. You have a choice. We all have a choice. You can choose life or you can choose death. You can believe the gospel of peace or you can be a holdout on the gospel of peace. There was, I didn't have it in my notes, but I was just thinking about a Japanese soldier. He held out for almost 20 years. 20 years after World War II was over. He was still hiding in a cave. They found him hiding in a cave. 20 years after the war was over. Because he never believed that the war was over. They found him hiding in a cave. The only way they found him, because people kept missing animals and stuff. And like, what's going on here? The crazy guy up here, he's killing the animals. He's living in the woods like a wild animal because he didn't receive the good news that the war was over. You can go home. Church, people, men, women, children, the gospel of peace says to you and me, whosoever, what's the song we learned as little kids? Red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world and the grown folks too. He said, but you got to call on the name of the Lord to be saved. It's a choice. It's a choice, church. Verse 21. Well, verse 20. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest. God put it out there unto them that asked not after me. Verse 21. But to Israel he saith, all day I have stretched forth my hand unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Last thing, what's the difference? And that's the primary problem of why many Jewish people are not saved, but it's also the problem of why so many Gentiles are not saved. Amen. Because he says they are a disobedient and gainsaying. Come on, ask me. What's the difference between disobedience and gainsaying? Ask me. I'm glad you asked. Disobedient is I'm going to refuse to do what you tell me to do. Gainsaying is not only am I going to refuse to do what you tell me to do, but I'm going to tell you to don't tell me anymore. Many of us are like that. Many of our friends, many of our families are like that with God. Look, I'm not going to listen to you, and I don't want to hear it anymore. But guess what? Ooh, God's so good. God's so good. We just talked about, in verses 13 through 21, we just talked about the promise of peace, the terms of peace, the hindrance of peace. And here, I want you to know that the offer of peace still stands. I'm going to give you this one last verse, chapter 11, verse 1. Now, it's for the Jew and the Gentile, but verse 1, talking specifically about the Jew in this particular text, the people are saying, the question is, I say then, hath God cast away his people? This reply that you see from the Apostle Paul via the Holy Spirit is one of the strongest statements you'll ever read in Scripture. It comes real close to being angry. It's a strong statement. You hear me? He says, God forbid, how dare you say that I ever turn my back on my people? He says, nah. Paul says, for I'm an Israelite, and I'm telling you, God's calling, he doesn't revoke his calling. He goes, they're still my children, and the offer is still there for salvation. The gospel of peace is still out there. The promise of peace is still out there. And I add to that, if he's doing it for the Jew, he'll do it for you. He goes, you may have fought against him your whole life. You may have been disobedient, told him I don't want to hear it, and gainsaying your whole life. But that doesn't prevent God. It does not prevent God from giving you and everybody else the offer of the gospel of peace when he says to the whole world, whosoever, get that in your head. No matter what you were taught as a child, no matter what you weren't taught as a child, no matter what color you are, no matter your education, your money, your culture, he says, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're not saved because we're good. We're saved because he's good. God bless you.